Today we are going to the next series. We're walking through the book of Philippians starting today. Before we do, I want to share with you a couple of things. This was in your seat, or it should be your neighbor's seat. You can steal theirs. But this is a special offering envelope for the Stowe Center. So in your seat, you should find your normal giving envelope. But there's also this one in there for the Stowe Center. And so that's our special love offering we're doing today, today only. So please be sure that you give. Everything that you give above extra your normal giving goes straight to downtown for the homeless and mission shelter. So please do that today if you would. So if you're wondering what that is, that's what that is. If you're a guest today, we are so glad you are here. We had an incredible first service, and it's already been a great second service. So thanks for being here. Today, we go to Philippians chapter 1, and today only, don't get used to it, all right? I'm just going to preach on two verses, all right? So Philippians chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. So take your Bibles and stand to your feet as we read God's word. Philippians chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. Paul writes here, Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are at Philippi, with the overseers, another word there for pastors, and the deacons. Two offices of the church, the pastor, the deacon. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Those two verses, let's pray this morning. Lord, thank you today. Father, it's been so good. It's been so good to see what you're doing in your church. So Lord, as we get into your word, there may be a guest here, there may be a family, a friend, somebody that's come to watch somebody else be baptized. Lord, I thank you, Lord, that grace covers all and salvation is for anybody who believes. And there may be someone here today who's never given their life to Christ. And I pray that today would be the day of their salvation. For those of us who are Christians, teach us what it means to be content. Show us what it means to know you as Savior and Lord on a daily basis and to walk with you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You can have a seat. I don't have time to walk through this morning, but I want you to write down Acts chapter 16. And in Acts chapter 16, we see the birth of a church plant called Philippi. You see, Paul wanted to go somewhere different. But then all of a sudden, in Acts 16, God showed up. He said, Paul, you're not going to go this way. You're going to go that way. And that maybe you understand the song. Remember the song from when you were a kid called The Macedonian Call? You heard that song, send the light, the gospel. That's not, never mind. That's okay. If you're a visitor, I'm sorry for that. But listen, there's an old song called Send the Light. It's the Macedonian Call. And in Acts 16, Paul was in Asia Minor, and he wanted to go a different path in a different way. And all of a sudden, God showed up and said, no, Paul, you're going to get your team, and you're going to go over here, and you're going to go to Macedonia, and you're going to preach the gospel over there because there's a great need there. And what happened is they went that direction. And I want you to write this down because it's important. Sometimes God's no is just as important as God's go. Sometimes God's no is just as important as God's go. Sometimes we're always wanting to put the hammer down on the accelerator, and what has to happen? God says, no, you're going to put on the brake right now. Sometimes we want to go in a certain direction, and God says, no, even though that looks good, that's not what I want. You're going to go not just there, you're going to go over here. And Paul was in Asia Minor wanting to go over here, and God showed up in Acts 16 and said, no, you're going to not go there, you're going to go here. And write this down as well. If it's not supernatural, it will be superficial. If it's not supernatural, if a church is not supernatural, it will be superficial. God and his great sovereign grace in his mind planted the church at Philippi from that beginning. Paul wanting to go a different direction, and because God showed up and said, no, I need you over here, get your team and go over there, there was a new church that was going to be planted. And so Paul and his team, they were going around and they were preaching the gospel. And they go to this little place in a Roman colony in a little town called Philippi. No one had really heard of Philippi before, but it was a known area there in the Roman colony. And what happened in Acts 16, as you read that chapter, that Paul, and they went down to a riverbank, and there are some women down there, and they were kind of hanging out. Maybe they were praying. I don't know, but there was a woman there named Lydia. Lydia of Thyatira, and she sold purple goods, and she had money, but she didn't have Jesus. And what happens is she hears the gospel, and then she gets saved. And then Paul and his team, they go to a different part, and they keep on preaching the gospel, and there's a woman there, a soothsayer, a fortune teller, and all of a sudden, she gets saved. And man, they really get mad at Paul. They didn't like that. Like, you can preach your Jesus, but you start messing up our money system, then we got a problem. And that's what happens is she gets saved. They throw Paul and his team and Silas in prison. Lydia gets saved. That woman gets saved. And all of a sudden, people start getting saved in Philippi, and he causes a holy ruckus, and they throw him in the stocks. They throw him in prison. And so there's Paul and Silas, and they're there in prison, and that's how the church at Philippi got started. You think it was rough? That's rough. That's a rough way to plant a church. That's exactly what Paul did. He was in prison with Silas, and they were there, and they were hanging out. And what happened is God began to teach Paul about what it meant to be content in Christ. Paul understood that joy comes from Jesus. In the book of Philippians, we see here that joy is mentioned 16 times. We also find that the gospel is mentioned 9 times. Unity and humility is woven throughout the theme of the entire book. But as awesome as those words are, do you know the word Jesus, the name Jesus, is used over 50 times in the book of Philippians? You want to know why? Because if you don't have Jesus, you don't have joy. If you don't have Jesus, you don't have the gospel. If you don't have Jesus, there is no unity and humility. Jesus is what makes everything possible. Because of Jesus, we have the gospel and we can have joy. And what happened is Paul and his team, they got focused on Christ, not their circumstances. And what you and I have to understand this morning is we're not to look at our circumstances, we're to look to our Christ. He is the source of our joy. We don't just glance at Jesus and gaze at our problems. Rather, we gaze at Jesus and we glance at our problems. Anybody awake this morning? We love Jesus, we gaze at Jesus, and we only glance at our problems. And the mistake we make is oftentimes as Christians is that we're gazing and we're focused on our problem and our circumstances. Rather, we should be glancing at those things and gazing upon Christ. Paul is in prison. Paul writes this letter in prison. He loves the Philippian church. Man, they had some problems. They were a normal church. They had problems in the church, but Paul writes them and he loves them so much that he is in prison and he loves them so much he thinks of them. He wasn't looking out for himself. He was thinking about that church. I would love to tell you that every situation, every person I know in life, I look back with fond memories of that are wonderful, but that's just not true. I have a good memory. I remember in kindergarten when I was at Macon Elementary in Memphis, Tennessee, right there at the corner of two roads called White Station and Summer Avenue, and I had a kindergarten teacher named Miss Shannon. I loved Miss Shannon. I loved Miss Shannon. She had blonde hair and blue eyes. Probably why I married a blonde hair, blue eyed girl. I loved Miss Shannon. Every day I would go up to her and I'd give her my milk money. I had a quarter and I wanted chocolate milk. Anybody drink white milk? Yeah, chocolate milk. So I gave the chocolate, I would give Miss Shannon the quarter for chocolate milk every day, and I would give her a kiss on the cheek. I know. And so I did that for a long time, and but then I got in trouble for that, and then I had to stop doing that. But I loved Miss Shannon. I loved my kindergarten class. Didn't learn a whole lot, but I loved Miss Shannon. But then first grade came, and I had a teacher named Mrs. Oakes. Yeah, the name just does it for you, doesn't it? And so Mrs. Oakes, she was not so kind and sweet and... Well, she just wasn't so kind and sweet. And she had this little thimble. Any of y'all teachers wear a thimble? That scars people. And so, I don't know. She had like a thimble on her thing. And she'd always look at you like, Jeremy, where's your work? And she would do her little thumb thing like that. You know, I'm scarred for that. Every memory there's some memories that are wonderful. And there's some memories that are not so wonderful that I kind of block out. Paul looked at the Philippian church and he loved them. He had wonderful memories of that church. He loved them so much that even in his circumstances, he was thinking of them. And so I want you to see three things this morning about these two verses, because what happens is in the introduction verses, we kind of go through them really quick, but we miss a lot in these first two verses. And so I want you to see three things this morning about the early church at Philippi. One, I want you to see our resume. I want you to see our resume as Christians. We have a resume. And the Bible says here in this first verse, Paul and Timothy, a servant of Christ Jesus. Paul and Timothy, a servant of Christ Jesus. And that word servant, and it really means, it's the word doulos. It means an actual, like a slave. See, a servant has days off. A servant can switch masters. They can switch employers. But a slave is held captive. They're held slave to that master, and they don't get days off, and they don't get the opportunity to switch masters, and they're stuck with that master. But can I tell you, being stuck to Jesus is the best thing you can ever have in your life? Jesus is the perfect master. He is the perfect thing for a slave to be tied to. Bible says in Romans 6 that we have been transferred from a slave to sin, from a slave to righteousness. And the Bible here clearly says that we have a resume. I don't know what's on your resume. I'm not asking you what's on your professional resume, but I'm asking you what's on your spiritual resume. Are you a servant? Are you a slave of Christ? But he doesn't just say that we're a slave and a servant. He also says that we're a saint. Look what it says there. To all the saints. Now, I'm not saying we walk around with halos on our head. All right? I'm not saying that. But listen, there's two kinds of people here this morning. There are sinners and there are saved sinners. That's it. There are sinners and there are saved sinners. Everybody in this room is a sinner. Would you agree? Amen. Shake your head. There we go. Everybody's a sinner. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We're all sinners. Every one of us has broken God's law. We're all guilty before God. But praise God, if you know Jesus and he knows you, you are no longer guilty. There's no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. You have been transferred from being that slave of sin to a slave of salvation and righteousness. And here the Bible says that we have a resume. We're a servant and a slave, yes, but we're also a saint. Are you a saved sinner here today? Everybody's a sinner, but are you a saved sinner? Has Jesus changed your life? That's the question you have to ask. It's very simple, but you have to ask it. Paul told the church at Corinth, he said, you need to examine yourself and make sure you're of the faith. Because you know Jesus, you can take your eyes off your circumstances and put them on Christ. Paul and Silas are in prison, and the Bible says they begin to praise God. Isn't that incredible? I think they started to sing a little something. And y'all like to sing a little bit? I think Paul and Silas, they're in prison, and they're going, I got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Silas, where? Down in my heart. Where? They were singing. They were there in prison, and they were singing before God. When you love Jesus, he'll give you a song to sing. He will give you a song to sing when you love him. And it does not matter what circumstances you are in, if your eyes are on Christ, he will bring joy in the morning. What is your resume? I know you got a resume. I know you got a business resume and a professional resume and all those degrees and sheepskins and all the money in the account and your professional career and all those different things. I know you got a resume, but I'm asking you, what's your spiritual resume? Paul said in Philippians 3, he said, my whole accomplishment, everything that I've got, everything that I've done, I count as rubbish, as dung. That's exactly what it means. It's all rubbish. It means nothing. He said, I'm looking to Christ, and everything in my past is just a pile of rubbish. All my stuff, all my accomplishments are nothing compared to knowing Christ. What's your resume today? Paul said, I'm a servant. He said, Timothy and I, we're just servants, we're slaves, we're saints. What's your resume? Who are you trusting in to get you to heaven? Who are you trusting in to walk with you every single day? Are you looking at Christ? Or are you focused on your circumstances? What's your resume? Number two, I see our residence. The Bible says here at the end of verse 1, to all the saints, listen, who were at Philippi and in Christ. The Bible says we have a dual citizenship. I can't explain that. And probably nobody else here in this place can too either. But listen, there's a lot of things that happen in our life that we can't explain, but we sure do enjoy. I bet most of you here today, when you leave this place and you go out in your car and you drive to a restaurant or you go home, you don't really understand how your car works. And don't just tell me you put gas in it. It's a little more involved than just putting gas in it, all right? Which, by the way, is at $4 a gallon almost. Have y'all seen the prices? Are y'all praying? What's going on? Anyway, so here we understand there's a lot more than just gas and a brake and a pedal. There's so much involved in the making of a car. I don't understand that. Man, I do good to change the oil. You know what I'm saying? I don't even do that. I don't really know all the inside trappings of a car, but I sure do enjoy it, and I get in and drive it. I can't explain all the things of God, but I sure do enjoy it, and by faith, I believe it. And some of you here today, that intellectual side is separating you from coming to Christ. And the Bible says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. By grace through faith, you have been saved. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. You've got to believe this morning. You've got to abandon all that. You're trying to figure it out. But listen, and just receive it by faith. Paul did. Paul said, we are in Christ and we're also at Philippi. We live in Marysville. Some of you live in Westerville. Some of you live in Dublin. Some of you live in Hilliard. Some of you live in Bellefontaine. Some of you drive from Marion. Some of you live in Richwood. You're coming from all over. You have a residence. I live on Saddlehorn Way. I live in a house. And after we get done with the service, I'm going to go home and have some good old leftovers probably. And I'm going to have lunch. I'm going to hang out for a little bit. And then we got meetings. Then we got the big deal tonight. But I'm going to go home to my house. I love my home. I love it. I love the way my house, my wife makes my home, and I get to come home and it's a place of refuge for me. I love my home. I love my kids. I love it when they're relaxed. You know what I'm saying? I love it. I love my home. But listen, I don't know why I said that. I love my home. But that's not my real home. Do you understand what I'm saying today? My house on Saddlehorn Way is not my home. Heaven is my home. And the moment I became a Christian, I have dual citizenship. There's no taxes in heaven. Praise God. There's no taxes in heaven. It's perfect. It's more than just mansions and gold. Let me tell you something. It's the presence of God. That's what makes heaven heaven. We live here. We live in Marysville. That's where God's placed us for a mission, for this moment. But our real home is not here. The Bible says in 1 Peter that we are just pilgrims and sojourners walking through this world. This is not our home. We're just passing through. Heaven is our home. Yesterday, I drove with the Spain family to Detroit, Michigan. It's my first time ever in Michigan. And I came back, but while we were there, Joyce's father was talked about by several people. And they all talked about his walk with God. And they all talked about how even in his end of his life, how he spent time with God every single morning. They talked about this woman came and she just got back from Hong Kong like on the other night, and she came to the funeral yesterday, and she was talking about, as she remembered Joyce's father, how he stood out there by the doors greeting people every single Sunday with those bulletins. Just a small thing, but a big thing. Because she said when she saw him, it made a difference in her as she visited the church, and how she just knew that he loved the Lord and how he served God. Can I tell you, as we're servants, as we're slaves, and we're a saint under the Lord, that we're serving him, and we ought to do it because we love him. And Jesus said, if you're faithful in the small things, you'll be faithful in the big things. And we got to do everything that we do because we love Christ, because we realize that we were lost. We were sinners. We were doomed for hell. And Jesus came and died on the cross and made it possible for you and I to go to heaven. Isn't that good news today? That heaven can be your home. That right now, if you're a Christian, you're here in this place, but truly spiritually, you are also a resident in heaven. You have dual citizenship. Dual citizenship. Two places at one time. I cannot explain that, but I believe it by faith because I'm in Christ. The theme of Ephesians, in Christ. The moment you become a Christian, you're in Christ. Mr. Kermit is in heaven. Mr. Wilbur is in heaven. Heaven is our home. And when we breathe our last, we will be before the Lord. What a great and awesome thing that's going to be. I hope you're looking forward to it. I hope your place is reserved. I hope your resume isn't about degrees and isn't about a business, but it's about Jesus. The Bible does not lie. The Bible, people say, well, that doesn't make sense. The Bible is lying. The Bible is not lying. If the Bible says it, I believe it. How about you? I believe it. This kid had a problem with lying. Really bad. I mean, really bad. So they take him to a children's psychologist. And so he tells the mother, he says, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to tell him the biggest story I can possibly imagine. And then he's going to realize how foolish lying is and how foolish he sounds telling all the things he's telling. And the mom said, okay, that's fine. So they bring him in the room. And the child psychologist sits down. He says, son, I want you to know what happened to me last weekend. He said, what? He goes, I was out camping, and this 30-pound grizzly bear attacked me. 30,000-pound grizzly bear. This kid said, man, that's crazy. 30,000 pounds. He said, but let me tell you what happened, son. He said, as that 30,000-pound bear was attacking me, this little 2-pound dog came out from underneath the trees in the woods. And you know what that 2-pound dog did, that 30,000-pound grizzly bear? He said, he picked him up, slung him around off my back, and killed him and saved my life. He said, son, do you believe that? That boy said, I sure do, because that was my dog. The Bible does not lie. And the Bible says here that if we're Christians, we're in Christ, but we also are where we live. Don't forget that. I think that's what helped Paul. There in a prison cell, he said, my focus is on Christ, not my circumstances. You know when it's darkest? Just before the dawn. Some of you right now, it's dark. It's dark. But hold on, because joy comes in the morning. And it's darkest just before the dawn. Number three, and I'll be done. I see our resume. I see our residence. But I also see the riches we have in Christ. Paul ends it as he is in prison remembering this Philippian church. He says, we're servants of Christ. He says, all of you who were in Christ and also who were at Philippi with the pastors and the deacons, he says, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. He says there that the riches that we can experience are grace and peace. There's saving grace, first of all. There's saving grace. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, for by grace we have been saved through faith, and that not of ourselves. It is the gift of God, so that no one can boast. God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. No one comes to Christ on their own. We don't come with our own pride, with our own works, with our own merit. We come because of the grace of God. All those who came this morning in the first service and all those who came this morning in the second service, God did a work in their life. It's all glory to him. God blessed his word, the seed that was watered and planted, and God caused it to bring forth fruit. There's saving grace, but there's also sustaining grace. The same grace that saves you is the same grace that keeps you. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9, Paul said, my grace is sufficient for you. I don't know what it was. Paul had a thorn in his side. He had a thorn in his flesh. And God never removed it. Many scholars and many theologians believe that God kept that thorn in Paul's side to keep him humble, to keep him low, so he wouldn't get puffed up, so he wouldn't get prideful, so he wouldn't get proud. And God kept him low, and God kept him humble. But God said to Paul, Paul, my grace is sufficient for you. Sometimes the problem may not go away immediately. It's because the Lord is doing a work in that midst, and we have to trust him in what he's doing. My grace is sufficient for you. Paul said there's not only just saving grace, but there is sustaining grace. But not only is there grace as a rich thing for a Christian, there's also peace. First of all, there's peace with God. James chapter 4, verse 4 says that when we love the world, we are enemies with God. If you're not a Christian today, the Bible says you are an enemy with God. A friend of the world is an enemy of the Lord. James chapter 4, verse 4. You have to be a child of his. You have to go into that marvelous light. You have to go from darkness to light, from death to life, and make that crossover, that great exchange that Martin Luther said. We exchange our sin for his salvation. Has that ever happened to you today? To have peace with God, but not just peace with God, but the peace of God. And I'll close here in Philippians chapter 4, verse 7. We'll see in a few months. It says that there is a peace that passes all understanding. There is a peace that passes all understanding. When you get bad news on the other end of the telephone, when you can't stop your tears from flowing, when you go to work and the boss tells you you no longer work here, when a son, when a daughter has gone wayward, when nothing seems to go your way and everything breaks loose, there is a peace that passes all understanding. Remember, this church plant, Philippi, was supernaturally birthed. God saved a woman named Lydia. God saved a soothsayer, a fortune teller woman. God then took Paul into the prisons, and that old jailer guard got saved. Then his whole family got saved. And before you know it, you got a church on your hands. That's how the Philippian church got started. Because God told Paul, "Paul, you're not going this way. You're going that way." Had he not done that, there would be no Philippians in your Bible. Sometimes things just don't make sense, but you got to trust the Lord. And sometimes God's no is just as important as God's go. He is your master. He is the perfect master. We have a resume. We're a slave. Isn't that good? That's our resume spiritually. We're a slave. We're a servant of the Lord, but we're also a saint. We're in Christ. We have a dual residence. We are in heaven, but we're also in the city in which we live. But we also have riches. We have grace and peace. There's no amount of money that can buy grace and can buy peace. You talk to somebody who's going through a storm. Listen, somebody once said, you're either in a storm, you just came out of a storm, or you're fixing to head into a storm. But either way, we're all three in those categories. All of us. One of those three. Jesus never said it wouldn't be bumpy along the way. What he did say is he'll get you to the other side. Jesus said, I'm in the boat with you. I'm in the boat with you. When the waters get choppy, when things get tough, when things don't go the way you think they should go, I'm with you. I'm always with you, even to the very end of the age. You see how much we can miss in the first two verses of Philippians? Paul writing from prison, focused on Jesus, good memories of the Philippian church. He wasn't looking at his own circumstances. He wasn't looking at his own interest. He was thankful for the love and the memories of the church that God used him to plant. Just like any church, there were issues. There are two women fussing and fighting, Syntyche and Euodias. That'll bless you, a dedication time for a baby. Two women fussing and fighting, causing discord, causing disunity. Paul says, quit that silliness. Repent, turn from it, get together, focus on the gospel, and move forward. Paul told them to have like-mindedness, to have humility, and focus on the gospel. He loved that church. They were a giving church, but they were a troubled church. Preachers came in from the outside and they were preaching that you couldn't just be saved, you had to get circumcised. Praise God, that wasn't true. That was what was going on. But there wasn't just trouble from the outside, there was trouble from the inside. It was a troubled church. God was moving, but Satan was warring from within, trying to distract. Paul's in prison, he gets word, and God inspires him to write a letter to this church. He says, stay focused. Stay focused. Humble yourself. Be of one mind. Have the mind of Christ. Humble yourself before the Lord. Stay focused on the task at hand. He loved this church. Your resume, your residence, the riches in Christ, all are available to you today if you will humble yourself Repent of your sins and receive Christ as Savior and Lord. If you're here today and you have religion, may I say to you in love, your religion will get you nothing more than a trip to hell. Religion does no one any good, but a relationship with Jesus changes everything. You cannot get to God on your own. That's what the word lig in religion means. It means ligament, to retie something. So relig means retie. Religion is man trying to get to God. Christianity is God coming to man. 1 John 4:4, we love him because he first loved us. We love him because he loved us. God saw us valuable. So much so that he sent his only son to die for you. And Paul said him from prison, I'm a servant. I'm a slave to a perfect master. I'm nothing without Jesus. He is everything. And though I'm here in this prison cell, I also have a home in heaven. Heaven awaits. And there's grace. And there's peace. Today, you can have peace with God. Some of you, you're so troubled inside, you're warring inside, you're fighting this battle, and there's no peace in your life. It may be because of unconfessed sin. You may have unconfessed sin in your life. You need to get that right as a Christian. Maybe it's because you're not saved and you're warring inside. You've not given your life to Jesus, and he wants to save you today. But as we close, I'm going to ask you to sit there in that seat and examine your life right now and ask yourself, am I a Christian? And if you're not a Christian, I'm going to ask you to pray. I'm going to ask you to consider repenting of your sins and giving your life to Jesus. If you're a Christian, there may be unconfessed sin in your life. There may be unconfessed sin in your heart that's hindering your walk with God, that's hindering your prayer life. I don't know what it is, but God does. Maybe God is telling you, no, even though your heart wants to go this way, God says, no, you're not going that way, you're going over here. And 2,000 years later, we have a book in our Bible called Philippians because of that, because of the Apostle Paul yielding to the Holy Spirit and God redirecting his path. Sometimes it doesn't make sense, but you have to trust him. You have to love him and seek him. There's a little white card in your bulletin. I'm gonna ask you to fill it out with your decision today to let us know how we can help you and pray for you. And when that offering plate comes your way, you can just drop it off in there. I don't know where you're at today, but God does. The Bible is true. God does not lie. The Bible is true. And the Bible says there's only one way to heaven, that's through Jesus. Paul knew Jesus. He was a sinner, but he was a saved sinner. Are you a saved sinner today? You can be. You can be. Let's pray together as we close. Father, I thank you for this book. I thank you for the Apostle Paul. I thank you for redirecting his life and for Acts 16 and the birth of that Philippian church and how you supernaturally did that. Our Living Hope is a church. Doesn't make any sense what you've done, but all glory to you and what you've done here. The lives being changed and your church marching on here in Marysville. It's all about you. There's so many truths we can learn from the Philippian church. To be of one mind, to humble ourselves, to not put extra outward trappings on the gospel, to keep it simple, to stay focused on our mission, avoid discord and disharmony. To have the mind of Christ, to humble ourselves, to do nothing from selfishness or conceit or envy, but regard everyone as more important than ourselves. Paul was focused on the gospel there in prison. He wasn't looking out for his own circumstances. He was focused on Christ. Some of us here today, we need to humble ourselves. We need to repent. We need to get things right with God. Some of us here today need to give our life to Jesus. We've never been saved. I pray there's anybody here who's never been saved that he or she would repent, turn, and place their faith in Jesus Christ alone to save them. We're all either in a storm, we just came out of one, or we're about to go into one. But you're with us. You're with us in the boat. You're with us in the journey. May we love you. May we focus on you and find joy, find unity, find the gospel in Christ. As we sing to you. It's in Jesus' name we pray.